BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now. Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Behold the King. The King of Kings. On your knees, dog. All hail. Bow down to the King. Bow down to the King in red.
The fitting theme for tonight's show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest Raw Post Show live right here on Wall Talk Radio Network, presented by Membrane Promo and PWMania.com. I am Sirach, and joined as always by the one, the only, Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
We got 3 hours of Raw to get into, and there's a lot needs to be said. A lot happened. Things exploded. Minds got blown. And
asses got slapped.
And grabbed.
And grabbed.
So we will get into it all of that, plus the Paul rigging and what have you. But Monday Night Raw opened with sirens. And many people, oh look, it's Scott Steiner, but no, it was not.
No. It was possibly the Scott Steiner, service, because it was an ambulance, but...
No, it was not. It was not Scott Steiner. It was an ambulance that rolled into the arena, and out of the back of the ambulance came Ryback with new-looking shirt and vest.
He has a spiffy new little vest that is so not spiffy. Does nothing for. Go back to the jacket, dude. It works so much better.
But it's summertime. It gets hot with the jacket.
Because a leather vest is so much cooler than a leather jacket.
It is. There are no sleeves.
Uh-huh.
That's just the way it would seem, wouldn't it? No sleeves, cooler. Works in my brain.
No.
Anyway, no. Ryback was on top of the ambulance and the decision last night was a no decision. So the record book show, John Cena is still the WWE champion, but Cena didn't walk away last night. We then saw footage of Cena being stretchered out to the ambulance, but refused to be taken away to the hospital, ripping off the neck brace and no selling the injury. Basically, saying, I'm alright. Come back, Ryback is on top of the ambulance, and basically proposes an ambulance match against John Cena at WWE Payback next month. Ryback said it doesn't matter if you're standing or if your heart is beating, since the goal is to put the other man in the back of the ambulance. Ryback says he's going to send Cena to the medical facility just like the rest of the people. He said that the people are going straight to the morgue. So he's killing everybody?
Apparently.
Ryback says that the audience is too weak and pathetic, so they're going to kill themselves.
Yeah.
He vowed to take Cena and the audience to the moor because, if you didn't know, Ryback rules. Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, Warrior. What? Thank you, Ultimate Warrior.
Thank you. Actually, he's becoming a cross of Ultimate Warrior and Batista. It's a little scary.
Mm-hmm. There's a little Batista in there now.
Oh, my God. On the upside, we have an ambulance match for Payback.
Which is cool.
Which is cool. On the downside, we had this promo, which was just,
I will give the man credit. He's trying.
He's trying. I can't disparage him or whatever for trying, but he's not succeeding. That's why it's like, well, you know, Paul Heyman's taking on somebody new. Maybe it's going to be Ryback. We can only pray and hope.
We can only pray and hope, but it was not to be. But who is the client? We will find out later in the program.
Nice one, Mace. Good one.
Up next,
rules, what? The taco truck.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, the line at Sonic, because that's where you can get these awesome shakes that apparently the audience was given in the front row.
Hey, don't you make fun of those shakes.
I'm not making fun of those shakes. I'm just making fun of the fact that they shamelessly plug Sonic by giving the fans shakes.
I want a free Sonic shake.
Well, you're going to be in the audience. Maybe they'll give them to you Friday.
That would be amazing.
Doubtful, but you can hope. You can hope they can give you a free Sonic shake. Anyway, we got a match. Chris Jericho and The Miz taking on Wade Barrett and Fandango. It was a match. It was all right.
I think this was the WTF of the night.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes. Wade Barrett's new music.
Not even Wade Barrett's new music. I mean, that was one of them, but what happened during the match with Fandango?
Yes, mid-match, Fandango's music plays. He starts to dance with Summer Rae ringside, and just during the match, and Jericho and Miz beat up Wade Barrett for a bit. Which led to Jericho hitting his moves, then Miz putting in the vintage figure four for the win. Then we had Miz and Jericho corner Fandango, and then Fandango ran away, and Jericho started to pull Summer Rae in, smile, looked like he was going to go in for a kiss, but he laughed in her face and walked off, embarrassing Summer Rae.
And she yelled at him. She had an angry.
Mm-hmm. She was not very happy. With that one and all. Gotta love Jericho, though.
That kind of made up for the stop everybody dance moment right there. Just because, yeah, Jericho is win. Mm-hmm. As far as Barrett's music goes, it'll be different in another 3 months, so don't worry about it.
The music wouldn't be so bad if he actually timed his entrance with it.
I would agree. I mean, it was like, okay, well, this is different. It's grittier feeling, but
his entrance was the same.
Yeah, so it's a process. I'm sure they're going to work on it. It's probably something where he got new music today, and they haven't quite timed it out yet. So, it's a process.
It's a process. Nice way to put it. So yeah, Jericho and Miz win the match. Get four people on TV. The programs continue, it looks like. I guess we're going to see Wade Barrett and Miz again. And probably more Jericho and Fandango at some point. We come back live to the arena. Vicky Guerrero announces that later on tonight we will have a poll to find out who Jack Swagger will fight tonight. I don't know why she randomly chose Swagger, but she did. And the options were, as we mentioned before, R-Truth, Great Khali, and the Viper, Randy Orton.
Because Del Rio was busy.
Yes, because Del Rio was busy. So, yeah. If I had an app, I would have voted R-Truth. Just because I know everyone else is going to vote for Randy Orton. And, yeah. Yeah, it was an app. And it was a poll. And, yeah. They're giving us the match we want. Because we all wanted the Jack Swagger match.
Eh.
Eh, exactly. But then we go backstage, and we hear a little bit from Team Hell No.
Are you ready? You know, it finally hit me. I'm not the tag team champions. You're not the tag team champions. We are not the tag team champions.
Daniel, all this negativity is not productive.
Right, says the man who said embrace the hate. I feel naked without the title.
Well, you're not wearing a shirt. Or pants.
Jokes? The Shield took us to the woodshed last night. How can you sit here and make jokes?
Because I'm confident. And you should be too. We get a rematch with the Shield, Daniel. But if we want a chance at getting titles back, you can't show any weakness. The Shield preys on vulnerability.
Weakness? Weakness? Are you implying that I am the weak link of this team?
Look, we'll talk about this later.
No, we'll talk about this now.
We have a match.
I am not the weak link of this team.
No, you're not. We have a match to get ready.
Guys, come on. I'll see you guys out there.
Daniel Bryan was not happy. And apparently he was naked.
Kane made a funny.
Yes, Kane did make a funny. It was a really funny. Good funny.
It's a little unnerving, and it's a nice turn that they're taking with them. Mm-hmm. Where you have Kane as the voice of reason, and Brian has snapped.
When did this happen? Like, in what universe are we in where Kane is the same one?
I don't know, but it's kind of amazing. Like, you're just sitting there and you're watching this, and Kane is completely calm. He's totally good. He's fine. And then there's Daniel Bryan, who's just going postal. And if you see, and he did it more last night after Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. Like, he just lost it last night on the post-show, which was incredible to see. If you haven't seen it, go find it. It's hilarious and awesome at the same time. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you have Kane literally holding him back, trying to calm him down, telling him it's okay, and Bryan is just going off at the handle.
So our anger buddies are looking to become tag team champions because they are no longer the tag team champions.
Which I like that reference back. That was a good one.
I also like that they threw in the Embrace the Hate reference, too.
Yeah, I actually kind of popped. Not gonna lie.
That was nicely done. We come back to in-ring action. It is Sheamus versus Titus O'Neil. I was kind of impressed by Titus.
This was a really nice match between the two.
It was. You saw a lot more out of Titus than you have in months. He was actually able to, you know, show off that he actually has some ability and why he's actually given a job and on the roster instead of just being on in a tag team with Darren Young.
Well, it's nice because Titus and Sheamus are the same size, they're the same build. So they're equally matched. So when you have two people that are equally matched and it's not so one-sided, I think in some ways you can get a better match out of them because then you get to see what they can both do against each other.
Right. So Sheamus ended up winning with the bro kick, but it was a good match. I liked this match. It was one of the good better matches on the show tonight.
It was.
And now it's the point of the show where we are all being teased because it was trending on Twitter for about 90 minutes, starting around 7 o'clock tonight. Who will be Paul Heyman's next client? Will it be Rob Van Dam, or will it be somebody else?
What does it feel like to be powerless? Because your booze will never change the historical fact that last night, a true Paul Heyman guy, the beast incarnate Brock Lesnar, defeated Triple H in a steel cage match at Extreme Rules. The COO of WWE, the cerebral assassin, the game himself, Triple H, will go down in history against my client as a loser. It's time for something new. It's time for something different. It's time to give to you, the WWE Universe, out of my generosity, that moment in time that you set your DVRs and you play this moment back 10 years from now. It's time for your Sports Center moment. It's time for that YouTube clip that you look back on and say, that's the moment that history took a left turn. Because you're all here tonight live to witness history. Ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to hit record. Because I, Paul Heyman, stand before you this evening and I give to you the newest Paul Heyman guy. I understand how everybody here feels. They say, my God, this man has such a legacy. He has such heritage. He has such, check out the word, pedigree going for him. So in the Alice in Wonderland upside down, everything is up, everything is down mentality of WWE, why isn't this man a main event superstar already? And it's all because here in WWE, a legacy is not something that gives you nepotistic opportunities anymore. It's an albatross that's around your neck that sinks you to the bottom of the talent pool. Ladies and gentlemen, my client doesn't hide from the fact that he has a bloodline that now makes him a third generation superstar. But this man wants to carve out his own niche. This man wants to make his own legend in WWE, which is why we have taken his father, Mr. Perfect's given name, Kurt, and we have paid homage to his grandfather, the legendary Larry the Axe Hennig, and we have bestowed upon this man a new name, a new brand, that will forever be known around the WWE Universe as Curtis Axel!
I was sitting in back listening to you run your garbage chute, and it just dawned on me. You know what would make me really happy? To come out here and solely because I can, just beat the ever-living crap out of you.
Hey. I like this. I don't think you understand. The game around here has changed. You want to talk to him? How about you talk to me first?
Kid's got a set. I love this. Wow. Oh, oh.
You know what? I just changed my mind. First, I'm going to have a match tonight with you.
Oh, awesome.
And when I get done kicking your ass, I'm going to kick yours.
Oh, man. We got us a fight coming. Not quite the way he called it.
Well done, segment.
Yes and no.
Okay, explain.
As I sit here trying to swallow my water really quick. It was well done in the sense that Paul Heyman can weave a promo like a champ.
Right.
He was playing that crowd, because I'm sitting here watching it on my TV right now. Mm-hmm. He was playing that crowd so well.
Right.
And it's like, there's just, I don't know what it is, but there's something about Paul Heyman. He's got magic. Mm-hmm. And there was, as soon as this kind of broke, because this broke, I think, like 2 or 3 hours before Raw, that this was going to happen.
Right.
The internet exploded, because it's, holy crap, who is it? Who is it? Is it RVD? Is it this person? Is it that person? You know, we've kind of talked about on other shows on this network, well, who else could Paul Heyman potentially manage?
Right.
And so it's, your expectation is really high, because you really don't know who to expect, and you're expecting somebody other than who we got, because it's like, you know, okay, the moment's here, Paul Heyman's walked out there, who's it gonna be? You know, is it gonna be The Shield? Is it gonna be, you know, Ryback? Who's it gonna be? Because you would think that they would pick somebody a little bit, I guess, higher up.
Right.
Because it's like, he walked out, and the music started, and he walked out, and it was kind of that wah, wah, wah feeling kind of moment.
Right,
because you're like...
Go ahead.
Well, no, because it's like, you had your expectations so high, and it's, who is it, who is it, who is it? And then it's like, who is it?
Oh, right, him.
Oh, right, Mike McGillicuddy. And this is nothing against Mike McGillicuddy. Or Kurt Axel now. But it's just like, you were expecting somebody bigger. And it's like, okay, well, at least they're doing something with him. This is fantastic. And the new remix music, awesome.
Right.
And then they get in the ring, and you have Paul Heyman explain it. And then it got a little bit better. It's nice that the name has a story.
Which is a good thing, which he didn't have before. He was just Mike McGillicuddy, and who the hell's Mike McGillicuddy? Oh, right, the son of Kurt Hennig. Yeah, no real story behind it, beyond that.
Yeah, I liked that they have finally referenced the fact that he's a third-generation star, and because they sort of there for a little bit got away from referencing that kind of stuff. I think Cody and Ted were some of the last one. Well, no, Tamina was.
But that took a while.
I think Cody and Ted were the last ones that really got introduced by their family lineage. Mm-hmm. So it was nice that they referenced that. It's nice that they went back and they said, okay, well, yes, this is who he is. He is the son of Kurt Hennig. He's the grandson of, forgive me.
Larry the Axe Hennig.
Larry the Axe Hennig, thank you. Sorry, I'm not familiar with his grandfather. But it's nice that they went back and they referenced that history. And they made him, and it made this moment feel more important. Mm-hmm.
But if you need a hype man, you get Paul Heyman.
Holy crap, yes, you do. Because like I said, the IWC was so hyped up over this, they had RVD trending on Twitter for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Because everybody wanted it to be RVD. Everybody. Omega even had his fanboy squee ready to go. That's how hyped up this was.
Mm-hmm. I think it delivered. Because if you notice, when they brought him out, it was not the top of the hour.
No, it wasn't. It was a little bit before the top of the hour.
So you knew at that point it wasn't going to be the big star we're all thinking.
No, and truth be told, we did get a big star in this segment when Triple H did come out, because nobody was really expecting him to come out.
Right.
But overall, the segment completely delivered. It was nice that you had Kurt. It's going to take me a little while to,
Curtis.
I want to call him Kurt. I don't want to call him Curtis. I want to call him Kurt, because that's what it said on the Titantron.
No, it said Curtis on the Titantron.
No, it said Kurt. Go back and watch it. It said Kurt.
I'm going to do that right now. It says Curtis.
I swear to God, I just saw it. It says Kurt.
All right. Whatever.
Hi, Matt.
But the point being, we got a new character, a new old character on TV now.
We've got a new, this is a very obviously, depending on how this goes, blatant attempt to make a new star, to make a new character on TV, and that I absolutely applaud. And the fact that they're doing it with Joe Henning is absolutely phenomenal. If you haven't seen him wrestle, he's really very fantastic.
Oh, that's it, Kurt. How about that?
See?
How about that? I did say Kurt. I'm surprised they called him Curtis then.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the name goes as well. And also, it's like, does anybody else want Paul Heyman to introduce you?
Mm-hmm. You got it. You got to have him.
It's like, we want Paul Heyman to manage us, and we want Paul Heyman to introduce us. Because, again, it's the way that he just says certain words and phrases and that kind of thing. That is just amazing.
When he says your name, it's like, holy crap.
You know, it's like Curtis Axel. It's like, okay, it's all right. And then Paul Heyman's like, Curtis Axel. And he puts that, you know, that growl and the vibrato into it. And you're like,
well, I'll be damned. There we go.
I'll be damned.
As Kane Kidd mentioned, I was going to mention this in a second. Yeah, McGillicuddy, Axel, Curtis, Henning, whatever you want to call him, did help train The Rock for WrestleMania and Survivor Series and the Rumble and everything else The Rock has been doing. And he probably helped Hunter, too, get back into ring shape.
He probably did, and I think Hunter's been high on him for a while as well.
Right.
I think.
And now it's time for him to show it.
Yeah, it's like now they've got the opportunity with everybody going away after Extreme Rules to really make somebody and really build somebody. And it was nice. One of the nice things about this segment was you had him step up against Triple H.
Which is good. If you think back, Shield got their big break this year against Taker.
Yeah.
So
this is on the same level. It's the fact that they're giving him to Hunter right off.
Is a nice start. And it's big news. Hunter is wrestling on Raw for the first time in 3 years.
That's incredible.
That's big news.
By the way, Paul Heyman's like sly little smirk when Hunter comes out.
Because
it's like, yeah, the WTF, and then he's like, oh, you're here. Let's have some fun!
Just Curtis Axel is now a member of the WWE roster with a new manager in Paul Heyman. We move on. Big E Langston versus Alberto Del Rio. With Big E getting the clean win, sort of, on Alberto Del Rio.
Go Big E.
AJ rolled the bucket in. Referee got distracted by the bucket. Ooh, shiny thing. Let me go chase the shiny thing. And allowed a poke to the eye and Langston hitting the big ending for the victory. Fine match.
It's continuing to build Langston, which is always good. And it's keeping AJ and Langston on TV while Ziggler is still out, which is what you need to do, honestly. They don't need to go away with Ziggler.
Right.
Because we don't know at this stage how long he's going to be gone.
Because they don't.
Right, they don't, so there's no point. Well, they've kind of done that in the past, where it's, if somebody gets hurt, the manager or the faction sort of disappears until the main person comes back.
Right.
And it's nice to see they didn't do that with AJ and Big E Langston, that they're still keeping them on TV and they're still keeping them relevant until Ziggler can come back.
Correct. Which is what you want.
By the way, point of interest, neither the World Heavyweight Champion nor the WWE Champion were on Raw tonight.
Hmm. Were they missed? Not really.
Not really, no.
Mm-mm. Up next, AJ Lee takes on Layla.
I'm going to let you take this one. Because I think you got far more enjoyment out of this match than I did. I think most of the men got far more enjoyment out of this match than I did. So I'll let you take this.
The match itself was fine. The ending was interesting. It was like, okay, she's tapping out on her ass.
Clever. And grabbing it.
And then grabbed it. It's like, oh, AJ. So she grabbed her ass. It was amusing. Love the Black Widow thing, the finisher. It's a great move.
It's a fantastic move. Layla felt a little off tonight.
Well, probably because she hasn't been wrestling in forever.
This could be.
And at the same time, AJ has a different style. I was noticing this tonight. She's a different presence in the ring than most divas. She seems really comfortable in the ring.
She does. She's not, I think, as awkward at times. She still has some awkwardness to her, but she's a little bit more, like you said, comfortable. And I think that's just because she comes more from a pro wrestling background than some of the other girls do. Because the majority of the other girls are all models, and they all came in and they learned how to wrestle.
They're trying to play a spot rather than she's there to fight in the ring. She just moses around the ring. She feels comfortable there.
Right. It's like, this is my ring. Come take it from me.
Mm-hmm. And her sitting on the ropes is fantastic for the intro. You know, for the intros.
Oh, it is. It's great. And then after the match where she picked up Layla and blew her the kiss,
mm-hmm.
and then sauntered off, that was great. She's playing this part so well right now.
Indeed, she is. And she has a new shirt available at WWEshop.com.
Hopefully, they sell it at the shows this Friday.
As in case you didn't know, Lindsay's going to wrestling on Friday.
Yes! Can't wait!
So at some point we'll have a recap of it probably the following week on The Rack. Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yep.
It's a can't-miss show. By the way, send us questions that you want to answer on Ask The Rack this Thursday. Send them in by Wednesday. Thank you. You know how to get them to me. Facebook, Twitter, email. Same old thing. Up next, Cody Rhodes, Zack Ryder in progress.
That's really sad that it came back in process.
Progress,
whatever. It's really sad that not only did they get the jobber entrances, that we didn't even get the start of the match. We come in while the match is going on.
It may have been on that WWE app thing.
It may have been on the WWE app thing, but I think it's... I understand it's Zack Ryder, but that's kind of a slap in the face to Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Cody is such a tremendous talent, and the fact that they're basically doing the jobber stuff with him sucks.
It does. So we have Cody Rhodes pick up the victory with the disaster kick. Following the match, Ryback comes out, and Rhodes leaves, and Ryback destroys Zack Ryder and ends up putting him in the ambulance.
I told you, he didn't destroy him. He was picking him up and taking him home for the night. He beat his chest after the ambulance left. He's claimed his prize.
How exactly did you put it earlier?
The gorilla has found his mate. I'm sorry, but that's exactly what it looked like.
Kind of was, yeah. I would agree. Kind of was how it looked. So we have that whole situation right there with Cody Rhodes and the Ryback taking him out in the ambulance. Up next, it is time for a little bit of six-man tag team action. But before we get to the match, we hear from the Shield.
Rollins.
Reigns.
and they are the WWE Tag Team Champions. I'm Dean Ambrose, and I am the United States Champion. Last night at Extreme Rules, the Shield brought power back to these titles. See, Kofi Kingston, Team Hell No, they didn't believe. But they do now. You know who else didn't believe? The Rock. And we are the reason The Rock lost the WWE title at WrestleMania. We broke him down so bad, he had to go get surgery. The Undertaker didn't believe. And now the dead man's resting in peace. You'll never see him again. The Monster Ryback. What we did to the Monster Ryback, we broke him down so bad. We made him feel so helpless, so alone, so betrayed that he snapped. He went after John Cena. And the real reason John Cena got carted off in an ambulance last night, well, that's the Shield. The Shield did that. All non-believers, all your heroes that you blindly worship, one by one, they all go down by the swift arm of justice.
You know, I've heard it said that justice is blind. But after what we did last night, justice can see just fine. And all of you can now see, you can see what a cohesive unit looks like. You can see the meaning of unbreakable right before you. You can see the future. You know what the scary part is, boys? This is just the beginning.
The ending, that stays the same. You put them in front of us and we take them out. The Hounds of Justice run this yard. And we carry the collars to back it up.
The fire of justice is burning bright, and we are the flames. Believe in the Shield. Believe in us.
Great promo.
Great promo. Great match.
Yeah, that match.
They got a half hour.
Mm-hmm. Between the promo and the match itself, which went 23 minutes, 30 minutes of TV time. Holy hell.
This was an absolutely fantastic chunk of the show. I would call it segment / match of the night easily.
Mm-hmm.
This was absolutely amazing to watch because this match and this promo, I would argue, are pay-per-view quality.
Without a pay-per-view quality tag team match, without question.
And, I mean, we can't sing this match's praises enough. We can't sing the Shield's praises enough. It's still a little awkward with the belts, but I kind of like the direction that they're going with on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just curious to see what happens when they have to defend them again, but it's, so far it's interesting. I'm just kind of more curious now if you're not going to see them go for more gold, or if you're just going to see them hold on to that right now.
Hold for now and dominate is the best way to put it.
Because I would be interested to see what happens if they go after, say, like the IC title or the World Heavyweight Championship or even John Cena's title. What happens there?
In due time. This is the best way to put it. So, yeah, this was a fantastic match. Daniel Bryan was on fire.
I'm liking this new, like I said, when they had Kane and Bryan's promo, And then they did this match. I'm liking the fact that they're now taking Brian, and they're not making him as silly. You're now seeing Brian take a very serious turn.
It's silly, but serious.
It's silly, but serious. It's basically Daniel Bryan has lost his shit. And he has something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
See, initially when this started, he had to prove he wasn't crazy.
Right.
And now he has to prove he's not the weak link, because if you think about it, he's teaming with Kane.
Right.
And they're such an odd couple that it's like Brian lacks a lot of what Kane has, and Kane lacks a lot of what Brian has. So, but it's like, because Brian's smaller, he's viewed as weaker.
Right, because Kane is powerful and strong, powerful, big, and strong. Daniel Bryan is quick and athletic, which do make for a perfect combination for a team.
Right.
So it's now Daniel Bryan has to prove whether he's the weak link or not. And now tonight proves he wasn't the one who took the fall. It was Kane.
Right.
So, interesting dynamic to come there. They both now lost to the Shield back-to-back nights. So, who is the weak link between the two?
They just need to stay together till Friday.
I think they're staying together till Friday.
That's good.
After that, she's not.
After that, I don't care. I just want to see Team Hell No live.
And you want to see the hug live.
If they do the hug. I don't know if they're going to do the hug.
They always do the hug on a house show.
I know they always do it, but because they're now taking this turn with them, I don't know if they are, because they're facing the Shield, and Sheamus is on their team, so we'll just kind of have to see how it goes.
We shall see. It was a great match. In the backstage, we have Triple H taping up his wrist, ready to fight later on tonight, but then, a guy walks in, tells Hunter the doc doesn't think Hunter should compete tonight. Hunter says, if the doc wants to keep his job, he'll reconsider it. So there was the first little hint. Something is not right with the game.
Right.
Backstage, Natalya catches up with Kaylin, who claimed to have a phone number from her secret admirer. Natty wanted the number so she can give it to Great Khali, because that will always work. Cody Rhodes walks by, starts texting, and Kaylin and Natalya stop him and, try to find out if he is the secret admirer. Kaylin steals the phone and sees that Cody is posting pictures of himself on the internet.
Didn't Kaylin and Cody once almost an item?
They shared a few moments. So
over Cody's love stash.
Mm-hmm, she was excited for a minute, and then she saw the selfies he was taking, probably.
Yeah.
And, Kaylin says she's glad he's not the secret admirer, whatever that means. And then Cody left, Natalya tried to calm Kaylin down, and the storyline continues. She now has a phone number.
What's sad is I have friends that would do that.
What?
I have friends that would grab a guy so you could grab his cell phone, or they would grab his cell phone just to figure this out. I know people that would do that. Hell, I would do that.
Now, have you been the distraction so they can... Have you ever been put in the position of being the distraction so the other girl can get the phone?
Yes, I have. Several times. So I can totally relate to this segment. Bravo. Well done.
So it was real. It was damn real.
Girl power.
It's now time for Jack Swagger and his person chosen by the WWE Universe, over 126,000. No, wait, 150,000, because the number updated within 5 seconds. 72% of the fans vote for the legend killer, the Viper, Randy Orton. So we get Randy Orton and Jack Swagger. Fine match. It was a match.
Yeah, it was a match. I mean, Randy came out looking strong, which is what you want. They're obviously trying to build Orton back up, especially with the new movie release coming out, because they're starting to push that pretty heavy, so...
Yeah, the new movie coming out, looking to put him for a world title, possibly, could make things interesting. You're pushing Sheamus, pushing Wharton, because he has the movie and stuff, so yeah. Wharton wins. RKO. Out of nowhere!
It's always out of nowhere.
Always.
I'm starting to wonder where out of nowhere really is.
It's right next door to Parts Unknown.
Oh, so it's outside Denver. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it.
Got it. We get an announcement this Friday on SmackDown. Dean Ambrose challenges defends against Kofi Kingston in the U.S. title rematch. And since it's on SmackDown, we will probably get more time, probably a better match.
I'm okay with that. I'll have to DVR it, but I'm okay with that.
Why do you have to DVR it? You'll be there live.
Not at SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're going to SmackDown. That's, never mind. Forgot it. I was thinking, oh, right, you don't work. And then you forgot. Oh, yeah, you're going to the show. Anyway, main event time. I get things mixed up. So don't worry about it. Triple H, Curtis Axel, main event. Finish was interesting.
The finish was... Yeah, I'll go with interesting as well. I'm very curious to see how they play this.
So, Henning took control for a little bit. Hunter made his comeback, and Axel was targeting the jaw of Hunter. So, Hunter starts making his comeback, does a spine buster, and doesn't follow up. He starts grabbing his jaw, and looks really dazed and confused, not knowing what's going on. He stumbles a little bit to the outside and, you know, sits down on a chair, gets some water, douses himself. He looks to be exhausted, gets back in the ring, was trying to get back in the ring. He was dizzy. He was, you know, losing feeling in his body. Heyman looked worried. The doctors were checking on him. Hunter went back and got back in the ring, left the ring, and sat back down in the chair. Hunter just tried to stand up, collapsed. The referee and the doctor says, "We're done." There was no decision. Hunter's trying to, you know, regain his bearings, crawling across the floor, just basically laying there. Fans were chanting for him. Hunter just had his dazed and confused look, and he was basically paranoid for a little bit, it looked like, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what the hell was going on and where he could be. So, yeah.
It was a great sell on Hunter's part.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like you see him start stumbling around. It's like, okay, I'm waiting for him to pass out. And there he goes.
Apparently, King made a comment about he had a stroke. I missed that in the commentary, but apparently he made a comment during commentary that Triple H might have had a stroke.
If it was, it might have been when it first started or when they were attending to him or when Hunter fell down. This is going to be something that they play out online, so this is going to pop up probably on their app and on WWE.com, and it will obviously play out more on SmackDown and then next week into Raw. And it's now a question of what happened. Does Triple H have a concussion? Did something else happen? When did he get it? Was it Brock Lesnar's responsibility, or was it because of Brock Lesnar, or was it because of Kurt?
The reason I brought up Jerry Lawler, he apparently tweeted out a comment, "I want to apologize to Triple H and his family for insinuating that he may have had a stroke. I know firsthand how upsetting it could be." So that's why I wanted to throw that out there.
Interesting.
I was okay with the finish. It was different. It leaves a lot of questions. Makes you want to... It's one of those moments that you need to tune in next week, and since next week's a holiday week, it gives you the cliffhanger to tune in.
Right. It's one of those things of, well, what happened? And they're kind of, I think, they're playing off of Ziggler's injury a little bit, because it's like Ziggler was fine Monday, and then he got a concussion on Tuesday.
Right. A little bit.
They're sort of playing off the different concussions that have occurred in the last, because you've had Brock get one inadvertently at WrestleMania, you had Ziggler now get one, and it's... Because if you think about it, Hunter did take a sledgehammer shot to the head last night.
Right, and they were concerned about his jaw going in. Yeah, he was drinking shakes, not eating during the day, I think JBL mentioned on commentary tonight.
Right, so this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
And again, it's also realism in wrestling.
Right, where it's, you take that shot to the head and you're knocked out, because Hunter was. He was knocked out as the pay-per-view closed. It closed with him laying in the ring.
Right, and then on post-show you see him being helped to the back.
Right, so it's, this now shows, well, what's the after effects of that? Well, Hunter's either got a concussion or he's got a head injury of some kind, and it got to him when he went to go wrestle a match. John Cena gets put through the light board. He's not at the show. There's, you know, the only really mention of Cena was when they were showing the recaps of Extreme Rules, and obviously Ryback was out there.
Right.
So they're starting to take it more realistic, which I like. It's like you take a shot to the head, you get hurt.
You've John Cena hurt. You've Hunter hurt. You've Brock selling the knee injury. He's hurt. You've Ziggler legitimately hurt. They talked about Cena's ankle when it was hurt. We're getting a lot of injuries in pro wrestling. And that's okay, because it's a sport. There are injuries. Whether they are created or they're real, it's a sport where their injuries happen.
Right. So, this is, like I said, this will be interesting to see how this plays. Because this could either really hurt Axel, or this could really help him. Because if Axel's the one that gave Triple H the concussion, then I guess for Paul Heyman, it's turnabout is fair play.
And it can go a couple of ways. You now have Axel being the guy that put Hunter out.
Right.
And now for the next few months, that's the story you tell leading to a big match between the two.
Right, where Hunter is now looking for payback.
Yeah, I think that's a little too soon for payback, but I get your point.
Yeah, but yeah, I know it's a little too soon, but it's like, just kind of got to throw it in there, you know. This might be a good match that leads them to SummerSlam.
There you go, because now you have the chance to build a guy, build off it, use this moment, and build a guy.
And if Hunter's involved, then that's what they're going to do. They're going to use this as a way to build.
You got Hunter and Heyman involved. They don't just give Heyman anybody.
No, they don't. Hunter just doesn't work anybody.
Mm-hmm. He buries people, but he doesn't always work people.
Yeah, it's Hunter doesn't work a storyline with just anybody, because look at the last couple of years, and look at who Hunter has worked.
Mm-hmm. So this was a nice follow up to Extreme Rules.
It was. It answered a lot of questions, and I liked the fact that they didn't have Cena there. That they completely sold the injury and the fact that, oh yeah, he went through a light board, but he refused medical attention, but he's not here.
You know, it's just so fitting that they do an injury angle when he's not supposed to work house shows.
Huh.
It's very timely, huh?
It is very timely.
Now it makes sense. They've had this planned. Interesting. Anyway, any final closing thoughts before we wrap up?
It was an interesting Raw. It had its good moments. It had its bad moments.
But overall, it was a show that progressed some stories.
It was a show that progressed some stories, and I'm interested to see what they do next week.
It will be the Memorial Day edition of Raw next week, and we will cover it all 11:30 p.m. Eastern next Monday night right here live on WildTalkRadio.com. But coming up tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll be talking to Mercedes Martinez and former WWE superstar Bob Hardcore Holly. Wednesday night is Cheap Heat Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack with myself and Lindsay Ward. We want questions. Send them to contact@rackradioshow.com. Send them to media@wildtalkradio.com. It's called Ask The Rack. We will answer anything and everything you throw at us. So that's people listening live right now and in the archive. Give us questions. We will answer anything. But if you ask a smart-ass question, you will get a smart-ass answer. That's a guarantee. Get them to us by 5, 6, 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, because we're going to put the show together on Wednesday night, so we want the questions pieced together by then. Friday night is unsure about Mace playing video games, but we'll see. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. Check out CanadianAllPro.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join our Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. This has been a proud presentation of the WTR Productions at WTRProductions.net. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard. Check out our website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out our DeviantArt at lindsward.deviantart.com. And you can check out CassidyRiley.net. So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wildtalkradio.com.